Lord, help us to commence this evening by singing hymn number 587. 587. Come, whosoever will, nor vainly strive to mend. Sinners are freely welcome still to Christ, the sinner's friend. Hymn 587.
Holy Word of God, we'll read together the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him, and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee." And immediately he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And may God bless to us each that reading from his holy word, and may he help us in prayer. Most merciful and gracious Lord, we give thanks for thy goodness and mercy in sparing us to meet again in this house of prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for an opportunity to gather around thy word. And Lord, we thank thee for thy many mercies to us. Lord, as we have been permitted to meet for a midweek service, Lord, we thank thee. And may, Lord, thy blessing rest upon our worship here this evening. Lord, we pray that our minds might be drawn unto thee, our desires, our thoughts, our affections set on things above. That thou, Lord, overcome the multitude of the thoughts that are within us. And Lord, we pray that thy comforts might delight our souls this night. Lord, thou knowest the difficulties, the hindrances there are, as we come before thee to worship. Not least, Lord, when we meet in the middle of a week, amongst the busy activity of another week. Lord, it isn't a day of rest, and we would seek our rest now as we come in for an hour in thy house. And we pray it may prove to be a sanctuary for us each this evening. That earthly things might be left outside, and that our minds and our hearts might be taken up with thee. We pray, Lord, thy blessing to rest upon the reading and the preaching of thy word. We plead that thou wilt send thy spirit to take the things of Jesus, to reveal them unto us, to make thy word a living word to us, to feed the hungry soul, to satisfy the longing heart. Lord, that thou wilt bless those who are seeking after thee, seeking to know thee, seeking to know their sins forgiven, seeking to know their part, their place among thy living family. We pray, Lord, it might be even this night that thou wilt be pleased to reveal these things, confirming them, showing them that they have a part in these things, granting them that living faith and tokens of thy never-failing, unchanging love. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be glorified, that thy name might be magnified in the hearts of many this evening. Lord, we do pray for this church and congregation. Lord, do remember them, be with them, help them, guide and keep them. Lord, do provide for them. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt pour out thy spirit upon them. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt work mightily among them and in them, that they may will and to do of thy good pleasure. We pray, Lord, that thy love might be poured out upon them each, that love that constrains, that love that moves the lip, that moves the feet, that love which passeth knowledge. Grant, Lord, that we may be partakers, the secret love of God, which for some may still be a secret, may it be revealed. May there be that bubbling up, that well of living water springing up within their heart. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou remember us each in our various pathways, the things, Lord, that are heavy upon some, those burdens and cares, Lord, thou knowest. We pray that thou grant thy strength that's made perfect in weakness. Lord, that there may be many brought to call upon thee and find thee to be a prayer-hearing and answering God. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt stir up many to prayer. Oh, we pray, Lord, that sinners might be awakened. Lord, that thou draw each of us to thy feet, that we may know what it is to pour out our hearts before thee. Oh, we pray, Lord, for that spirit of confession. Lord, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We pray thee that we may have that gift of true repentance. A humble and a contrite heart. Oh, for Lord, thou wilt not despise. And we pray that thou wilt, Lord, grant that many may come feeling their need and be brought to taste redeeming love. Do remember this church, we pray. We thank thee for thy goodness and mercy. Lord, we pray that thou wilt build them up in their most holy faith. Do strengthen the church here, we pray. Oh, Lord, we pray, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, be that wall of fire round about them. Be the glory in the midst. Thou hast planted here a local church. We thank thee for it and pray that thou go on to be gracious further still and add to them such as should be saved. Oh, do grant, Lord, that thy blessing might rest upon them. That the spirit of love and peace and unity. Oh, we pray that thou be glorified within these walls. And we pray, Lord, that this place may redound to the sound of the praise of the Most High God. We pray, Lord, that many may be brought to come and tell what thou hast done for their souls. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant to the end of time a living witness in this place. We pray that thou wilt supply their need. Lord, that there may be that feeding of souls. There may be the satisfying of thy poor with bread. We pray that thou break the bread of life here and feed the hungry soul. We pray, Lord, that thou remember the children, the rising generation. We pray thy blessing upon the Sunday school. Lord, we pray, do open up the heart and mind of the young. Lord, there are so many things in their day and generation that left to themselves would draw them aside. Oh Lord, we pray that thou will put forth thy hand. That, Lord, thou will not leave them to wander off into the world, not leave them in an unconcerned state. But Lord, may they remember now their Creator in the days of their youth. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant them a tender heart, the fear of the Lord. Lord, implant it in them, we pray. Oh, that there may be many born again while they are young in life. We pray, Lord, that thou remember parents and help them. We think of those who are, what we might say, are bearing the heat and burden of the day, who are feeling the pressures, feeling the many burdens that there are. We pray particularly for any who are feeling the temptations, any who are struggling with the pull of the world, and the drawing to the things of God. Lord, we pray that thou wilt deliver those who
feel to be held captive. Lord, we pray that thou wilt command and speak the word, loose them and let them go, as it might be as it was with Lazarus. We pray that there may be many brought to see clearly and to walk freely, to know the liberty of the gospel of the grace of God, to know that liberty of the children of God. For if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Oh, free then, free them from the captivity and the bondage of sin and Satan. Oh, set them free from the bondage of the law. Bring, Lord, thy gospel into their hearts, we humbly pray, and bless them with the precious blood applied, that they may know the sweet effect of the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, we thank thee that it is without money and without price. And Lord, we pray that thou keep us from over complicating the simplicity of the gospel. But rather, Lord, that thy light and thy truth might enter in. So, Lord, do remember us here this evening. Lord, be with those unable to be here. Be with any who are in affliction. Any, Lord, who are walking a path of difficulty. Any who feel a path of loneliness, sorrow or disappointment. Lord, there are many things that Satan would seek to take advantage of. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be show thyself mighty on our behalf, make bare thy holy arm, and grant, Lord, that thy rich blessing may rest upon each. Do, Lord, sanctify the things that we are brought into for our real good. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be glorified in these things. Oh, may we truly prove that we know all things work together for good. Oh, Lord, help us to see what is really good for us. Many things, Lord, we think are good, but one thing is needful. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant us each, that we may be led and taught of thee. We might be as Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus. We might learn of him. Oh, do remember us then in all our need. Oh, be with any, Lord, who may have what would seem to be impossibilities before them. Oh, there are those things which are impossible for man, but not impossible for God. Oh, we pray then that thou wilt truly bring us to see that with God nothing shall be called impossible. Oh, may we be blessed with that faith as we bring our burdens, our seemingly impossible things unto thee. Help us to lay them at thy feet, and help us to leave them, our cause, in thy hands. Oh, do, Lord, grant that we may Be blessed with those answers of peace. Lord, be with any whose mounting this evening is their own sin. Any who feel that they are out of thy favour, out of thy notice, who may feel the doubts and fears alternate rising. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak. O Lord, may we hear thy voice. Speak through thy word, we pray. Grant us an ear to hear and a heart to receive. And Lord, leave us not to go home as we came, but may we leave different. May we leave with something. May we have those things to pray over. Oh, may we have a portion for our soul. So remember us, Lord, in all our need. We come on mercy's ground. We plead that blood and that righteousness. We plead the name of Jesus, that all-prevailing name. We plead all for his name's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 538. 538. By nature, none of Adam's race can boast of goodness in God's sight. Sin plunged them all in sad disgrace. Now nothing merely human's right. Hymn 538.
turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 13. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, and verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, and verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This well-known parable begins with two men. Two men went up into the temple to pray. What a stark contrast between the two. How the Lord sets before them in this parable the teaching to the people here. Oh, may the Lord give us the same teaching. Two men went to pray, and one was accepted, and the other wasn't. Oh, what a difference when we look at both characters. Now, maybe you wouldn't have seen much outwardly different. We're not told. One's a publican, one's a Pharisee. Maybe there were those outward things. But listen to the difference. He stood, the Pharisee, and prayed thus with himself. And listen to his prayer. God. He began with the same word as the publican, God. And he gives thanks. I thank thee. And then he goes on. Oh, friends, what a prayer. Was God pleased? Is God pleased with prayer like this? We're told he prayed thus with himself. His prayer did not prevail. And God did not receive that prayer. God was not pleased to hear that prayer. Though it was addressed to God, God's ear was not open to that prayer. No, there's a difference, isn't there? Mark the difference in the prayer, in the way of approach, in the things that are asked for, the content of the prayer, in a difference in faith. Where is the faith of the publican, the Pharisee? What is his hope? Difference in the faith. Difference in the outcome. We're told one of them went down. In verse 14, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's the teaching for you and I this evening. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Oh, I would encourage you, if that's an expression, encourage you to pray to God. Oh, but how we need the Lord to teach us how to pray, don't we, and what to pray for. Well, let's not dwell on the Pharisee. The text this evening is the publican standing afar off. And would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. You might say, where's the confidence of faith? Where's his boldness in prayer? Where's his witness to the praise and honour and glory of God? You know, he was a vessel of mercy, a vessel of honour. And Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 9, and he writes, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You know, how often these vessels of honour God has formed, a vessel of honour out of the clay and one to dishonour. But oh, how often the vessel of honour is despised, is not looked upon favourably by others. It's a clear example of it this evening in this parable. Yet the publican says, the Pharisee says, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. And comes to the end of that verse 11, and it says, or even as this publican. It's a shocking prayer. You can't really call it one at all, can you? Other than that he came with the intent to pray. But friends, what a solemn thing. You know, oh, aren't the Lord's dear children often overlooked, or if they're noticed by the world, they're looked down upon, they're despised? And friends, solemnly at times, even among the children of God, there are those that can look on others and look in a wrong way. This publican was a vessel of honour, though despised, a vessel of honour. God's love toward him, his everlasting love toward him, loved with an everlasting love, saved with an everlasting salvation, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, elect and precious. Friends, precious. Precious unto God. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, this is the distinguishing statement between the two. Me, a sinner. Me, a sinner. Friends, what about you? We're all sinners. The word of God is clear. But what about you and me? Do you have this in common with the publican this evening? Me, a sinner. Me, a sinner. You know, the Lord had showed him enough of his own sinfulness. You say, where's the boldness of his faith? Friends, he had a felt sense of his sinnership. Me, a sinner. And I ask you again, what about you? Do you know this about yourself? And do you not just know it? Do you feel it? You know, we have that the words of that hymn, verse of the hymn, to see sin smarts but slightly. Makes you uncomfortable a little bit. To see sin smarts but slightly. To own with lip confession is easier still. But oh to feel. Oh to feel cuts deep beyond expression. This man felt it. He both knew it and he felt it. You know, you hear of those that make use of a confession box in the Roman Catholic Church and outpours confession. Easy. It's meaningless. It's not coming from a heart grieved, broken. Oh, the confession comes as easy as the sin comes. But what about you and me? This is the vital thing. This is the distinguishing mark. Me, a sinner. Me, a sinner. Oh, it is the Lord. It is him, and him alone that can so apply his word to you that it smites you in your heart. You know, what was it with David when he got into that backsliding state? One sin led to another until the Lord intervened. Until the Lord put forth his hand. Until the Lord sent his servant Nathan the prophet to speak with him. Until the Lord shot that arrow into the heart of David. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. You know, the Pharisee had never had that, had he? He'd never had that. If he had, he couldn't stand there and say that. He couldn't be in that posture. He couldn't be in that position. Oh, how could he? If he had felt that true arrow of conviction. But that man, that publican, an arrow had gone into his heart. We're not told when it was, what it was. But we see the fruit of it. We see the effect of it. That arrow is in his heart. Me, a sinner. And what did David say? When Nathan spoke to him of that parable. Oh, David said,
This is 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord. Have you ever felt that, friends? Have you ever felt that? I have sinned against the Lord. Has the Lord brought you to take ownership of your own sin? It is your sin. You own it. But to acknowledge it, to be brought to acknowledge it, to be brought to this same place, I have sinned against the Lord. Me, a sinner. Me, a sinner. I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. I have sinned against the Lord. My mind also went to the prayer of Ezra. And Ezra, in chapter 8, sorry, in chapter 9 it is, I can just put my mind, my eyes to it. In chapter 9, in verse 5, Ezra, hearing of all the sin of the people. This is the posture, isn't it? In verse 5, and at evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness and rent my garments and my mantle. I fell upon my knees. I spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. Oh, there's humble contrition. There's a heart broken because of sin. Oh, there's a soul there in grief over sin. I am ashamed. I am embarrassed. Oh, this is the posture of the publican. Oh, where is he? He cannot get low. Low enough. He is standing afar off. Oh, he must come. He feels compelled to come. God has drawn him to his mercy seat. But afar off. Oh, he's standing afar off. Would not so lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Me, a sinner. Oh, this is the effect. This is the effect of the conviction of sin, isn't it? Me, a sinner. Me, a sinner. Oh, coming low, low to the feet. you and I in a gospel day? Oh, do you feel at times you can't get low enough? You know, I thought this afternoon, my mind went back to when we used to own a dog. And I remember one morning I came down and I can't remember exactly what she had done, but she'd done something she shouldn't have done. And I walked into the kitchen and, oh, she, you know, the posture, it's just a dog. I'm just a man. And yet that dog, how it was low. It couldn't get low enough to the ground. It knew. It knew it had done wrong. It knew it had done wrong. And the posture was low. And oh, she was so timid to look up at me. Not wanting to make eye contact with me. Oh, that posture. Guilty. Guilty. Friends, do you know it? Do you know what that feels like? This is the publican in our text this evening. Could not so much as lift up his... would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Guilty. Oh, feeling the guilt. Feeling the shame. Feeling a sense of unworthiness. Oh, embarrassment maybe. But more than that. Oh, the shame. Oh, the guilt lying heavy. And lo, he comes. But you know, friends, come he must. Mere sinner. Where can mere sinner go? Where can guilty, unworthy, wretched me, a sinner, go? Stay at home? Separate myself from the means of grace? Where can me, a sinner, go? Where can you, a sinner, go this evening? To the law? Me, a sinner? What good is the law to me, a sinner? You going to plead some ignorance? Is that the ground that you can come on this evening? Is that the ground the publican came on? The ground of ignorance? I didn't know. Sins of ignorance? My ignorance of the law? But me, a sinner. What help? What benefit is pleading ignorance? Ignorance or not, a sin has been committed. The fault isn't removed. The transgression isn't done away with. Sin isn't put away on the grounds of ignorance. Ignorance is no defence in the law, is it? In the earthly law that we have. I didn't know it was the law. Well, I'm sorry, but you've broken it. But I didn't know about it. Well, I'm sorry, but you've broken it. You've broken it. You're guilty. You're guilty. What's the law then? For me, a sinner. Do I go to it looking for pardon? Will I find it? Will I come to the mount that Moses went up? Where we cannot even dare approach the mount? Then the holy law of God is given. You read the law. Does it speak to the guilt and the condemnation for me, a sinner? The law condemns me. The law tells me all that I've done wrong. The law informs me what is expected. And when I look at what I've done, I've disobeyed it. I've not kept it. I'm a lawbreaker. A lawbreaker. And the law will not bind up the broken, law-breaking heart. Me, a sinner, will not find any peace in the law. I've got no ground to rest on in the law. I've got no place of rest in my own ignorance and foolishness and weakness. Where can me, a sinner, go? Can I go anywhere? Oh, can I come to the one who gave the law? Can I look above the law to the lawgiver? Do I have some ground to approach? Is there anything that gives me hope this evening? I can't find it in the law he gave. But what about in him who gave the law? Well, the publican, he prayed. He prayed to the lawgiver. He didn't plead his good works and how wonderful he had been. That won't do. He couldn't pretend he was someone or something he wasn't. That won't do. You see, the lawgiver is the creator of man. The almighty and eternal Lord God of heaven and earth, who sees us as no man sees us. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks upon the heart. No fooling him. He sees through all and into all, knows all. And so you must come. You, a sinner, me, a sinner. We must come in the same way as the publican. And we come and we plead, oh, that same prayer. God, be merciful. God is merciful. Me, a sinner, and God is merciful. Oh, the mercy of God. Friends, it shines from the Word of God. It's the mercy of God that spared our first parents. In that first sin, it was the mercy of God that called Adam out from behind wherever he was hiding in the garden. It was the mercy of God who said, "Where art thou, Adam?" And it's the mercy of God that seeks out and searches out and shines a light into the soul of poor, unworthy sinners
while they are still in the land of the living, while they are still on praying ground. It is the mercy of God which did not utterly wipe out our first parents, but the mercy of God made provision. If you like, the gospel began, didn't it? In that Garden of Eden, when God put to death that beast and made them skins, gave them skins to clothe themselves with. Oh, the first shedding of blood because of sin. Oh, what mercy. The mercy of God is seen there. And what ground could they come on? You know, friends, it's this ground of mercy. And ever since, sinners throughout the generations have had to come in that same way. Maybe not at first. Maybe they've tried to mend their ways. Maybe they've tried to make themselves better. But they found that they can't. And if they could, they can't blot out any of their past misdeeds. They don't find any satisfaction in working out their own righteousness. They have no peace with God. They find that their own works of righteousness are insufficient and unable to put away sin. And they're brought to see that it's only the mercy of God. It's only the free and sovereign mercy of God that can save their soul from this desperate state, from the lost, ruined condition. It's only the merciful hand of God that can reach their poor, unworthy soul and recover them from the pit of despair. Well, the publican says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And oh, the Lord's mercy. Friends, I was thinking back, particularly in the last week or two, I've been brought back in some thoughts to how it was with me when the Lord began with me. And you know, we talk a lot of I seem to speak a lot of the blood and the righteousness of Christ, and we preach Christ crucified. You know, and I look back to when I felt in the same place as this publican, a sinner. For the first time, powerfully, a sinner. You know, what was my prayer? Somebody once said to me, we should plead the blood, and that's right. But you know, when I look back to that time, I didn't know really what that meant. I wouldn't have known what that was. You might say, well, how could you live to 35 years old and sit through faithful preaching and not really understand? Well, I'm telling you how it was for me. Okay, I didn't know all the doctrines and all of those things. But I tell you what I did feel. I felt myself to be a sinner. And I needed the Lord's forgiveness. I saw myself going to hell. And I couldn't bear that thought. And I thought of a little bit of election. And I couldn't understand how I could have been ever found
in that Lamb's Book of Life, but I ask the Lord to write me in it. That he'd do it even now. I ask the Lord, I just asked him to forgive me and to forgive my sin. You know, what's this man's prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Friends, it's a simple prayer, isn't it? Oh, but how much is bound up in it? It is pleading the blood. I ask the Lord, I ask the Lord to forgive my sin. How can he forgive sin? Well, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. His Son cleanseth us from all sin. How can the publican sin be put away? How can he go down to his house justified? How can he have the peace which passeth all understanding? Well, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed at Calvary for sin. It's the blood applied. The blood pleaded and the blood applied. Oh, it is the Lord to turn the darkness of guilt, the misery of condemnation, and turn that time into joy. Oh, you feel his frown, his displeasure. You can't lift up so much as your eyes to heaven. And the Lord reveal his love. That's how it was for me. He didn't take me to the cross at that point. He didn't bring me into the truths of the preciousness of his sin-atoning blood. He filled my heart with love. He filled my heart with love. You know, I've had to go. I've had to be brought to the cross. I've had to be brought to plead the blood. I must have pleaded it more times than I ever thought I'd have to. Oh, I want the Lord to show me again and again. I'm in a body of sin, and so are you. And we want the liberty. We want the Lord's smile. We want him to look upon us. And how can he if we're out of his Son? Oh, we want to be found in him. Not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, his righteousness. Oh, we want that precious blood which did for sin atone to be applied to our soul. Think of Mr. Gasby's hymn. A base, 668, this is verse 3. A base, ungrateful monster I have been, and now with shame my guilt and folly own. I cannot, dare not, on my own works lean, but plead the blood that did for sin atone. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, may the Lord give us each that conviction. He says, you're asking to be brought, every one of us to be brought into this misery. Friends, yes. Yes. And those that have gone off, that the Lord would meet with them and trouble them and bring them into distress and bring them back like that prodigal son, that they might not be left to prosper and to flourish in this life and enter into death in the ignorance and blindness of unbelief and sin. Oh, but the Lord will be merciful. He is merciful, but merciful to your soul, my soul, in bringing us on praying ground to seek him and the forgiveness of our sin. Oh, when that time comes and we're brought to the end of our days, brought to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, friends, it's too late. It's too late. It's the time of judgment. This is the day of grace. This is the day of grace. Oh, may the Lord bring us each to that same place, me a sinner, while we still have the breath to pray, God, be merciful. Oh, God, be merciful to me a sinner. And give us that pardon. Showing us his mercy and granting us his salvation. Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us. You know, I must close, but I went for the very first time into the House of Commons last week on a visit, and I stood in the second row back on the Conservative side of the House of Commons, and the Speaker's chair on my left, and over the door behind the Speaker's chair is engraved in, carved into the wooden lintel of the door frame, those words, God be merciful unto us and bless us. And as we walked out the other end of the chamber, again over that door, engraved into the head of the door frame, God be merciful unto us and bless us. What a prayer. And I was told that that prayer, that Psalm 67, is read at the start of every sitting in Parliament. Psalm 67, read it, friends, in your own time. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Oh, that's it, isn't it? The Lord to shine upon us from on high. Shine us, shine into our souls with his light, the forgiving love, the mercy of God, and bless us with the felt sense of pardon. Take away all our sin and receive us graciously in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish is again expected to preach next Lord's Day and next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1098. O God of mercy, hear my call, my load of guilt remove, break down this separating wall that bars me from thy love. Hymn 1098.
may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.